Welcome back to Rural Queensland Today on the Resonate Broadcast Network. Queensland Reds legend is Tim Horan, and he joins us this morning with the Queensland Reds to celebrate 140 years at a long lunch on Friday this week, June the 2nd. It's going to be a special lunch. Tim, good morning, and thank you so much for being with us on Rural Queensland Today. A lot to like, firstly, with Super Rugby, with one round to go, but it's a pretty special time for Queensland Rugby as well.
Yeah, hello Dobbo, and hello to all the listeners all around the Queensland rural area, and great to be back on the show. But yeah, it's a tough one, first of all, for the Queensland Reds, Dobbo. When you look, there's one game left. They go to Fiji to play Fiji and Drua this weekend coming, and it's a tough one for them. You know, Freddie Jones, who's the new Wallaby coach, who's about to select another Wallaby squad in a couple of weeks' time. It's important for a few players there, and but yeah, it's a tough one. Last round this weekend, and of course, as you mentioned, on this Friday coming up, a very special lunch. The Reds long lunch is always great to go to, and there's over 700 people already booked in for this Friday for just to announce the inductees of the Hall of Fame for the Queensland Reds this year. And I'm on the advisory board to select. There's about seven or eight of us on there, and we always try and every year select maybe one, two, and sometimes three former players to be inducted.
Yeah, well, I can't believe there's 23 so far since of inductees since 1893 and into the Hall of Fame. And this year's inductees, Rugby World Cup winner Todd Ikefu, former Wallaby captain Dr. Charles Chiller Wilson, his family will attend, and Vanessa Bradley, the second woman to be inducted. But I'll say this, Chiller Wilson is a huge pick, and rightly so. But I'm surprised that Kef hasn't been nominated prior. I mean, he was an absolute legend, and it is obviously a huge honour to be in that realm. Tim, you're there, but he has been one of the colossus of Queensland rugby, and what he's done, not on the field and off the field for the game, has been pretty special as well.
Yeah, it's a great moment for Todd Ikefu and his family. And, of course, you only think back not so long ago what happened with the home invasion to him and his family and his wife and Rachel, and how that affected the family, how they got back on their feet. And he's obviously current coach of Tonga. So the Tongan side, of course, going to the Rugby World Cup. So it's going to be special for him. And Vanessa Bradley as well, you know, what she's done for just not just the Wallaroos, but for the Queensland Reds, and how many games she played for the Queensland Reds and the women's program. And that, you know, it's important for the diversity of rugby that we, and same with, you know, NRL now as well, Dubbo, which you're part of, how many girls, young girls, are playing both rugby union and also rugby league. It's great for the sport. And Chiller Wilson, yeah, wonderful bloke, and what Chiller did for the game for many, many years. And he was a character, but also on and off the field what he delivered. So it's pretty special, and it's a pretty hard selection process, Dobbo, because there's so many players that haven't been part of it. You look at Roger Gould, David Wilson, all these type of people that are yet to be been nominated, but yet to be selected. So next 5 or 6 years will be interesting, and yeah, it's going to be a great lunch to celebrate.
There's a lot to talk about. The new National Rugby Training Facility at Ballymore is nearing completion. How big is that for the game of rugby that they have a base? I know that there's going to be some relocations. And do you think that long-term that will be the home for the Wallabies?
I don't think it'll be the home for the Wallabies, Dobbo, but potentially for
the women's game,
the women's sevens program, yes. In time. The Wallaroos home base, yes. Obviously, the new stand gets opened in about 4 weeks' time by Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk to promote what's, you know, been a great, I suppose, ground for many, many years. Dobbo, you know, a lot of your listeners might be too young, but the older listeners around the country would remember going to Ballymore and rocking up at the Bundy Bar or on the Forex Hill and just experiencing not just the game of rugby, but the socialising that came with it. So that's pretty important to hold those values. And in time, hopefully, the Eastern Grandstand, which is the biggest grandstand there, that hopefully funding from the government might come through, because it's going to be an Olympic stadium for hockey in Brisbane. So once that state, the far grandstand gets knocked down, all of a sudden then that becomes the Aussie Sevens program, and they can base themselves on that side of the field. And the Brisbane Roar, of course, are going to play there as well. So I think it's going to be a multi-sport facility. But the biggest play, Dobbo, is then that of the seven or eight home games that the Queensland Reds get per year, then you want to be able to go, okay, we're going to have two of those at Ballymore, 18,000 people, sold out, tickets hard to get, Creek Bank parties like the old days, and then you fill the stadium.
Will that happen, Tim? Is that realistic?
Yeah, not in the next couple of years, but probably by the end of 25, 26. You give another two more years, and then I'd expect at least one or two games for the Queensland Reds to be played there. And you look, this year, Dobbo, we took two to Townsville, and I think they've got to move. I reckon you'd want to be able to move at least three games around, maybe two at Ballymore, maybe one in the likes of Toowoomba or Gladstone. They're looking at potentially Gladstone. And, of course, you've seen the Santos Festival of Rugby that's been to Roma, it's been to Narrabri, which is the pre-season game for the Reds and the Waratahs. So that may move around as well.
We're talking with Tim Horan, Rural Queensland today, a Reds legend and a Wallabies legend. Do we have any idea, are we closer to seeing who will coach the Wallabies, who will coach the Reds, in 2024?
Well, there's a few options. The committee now is just going to start to interview a broad group of candidates. And you would think that probably, as we mentioned, Todd Ikefu, as we mentioned, being inducted into the Hall of Fame on Friday, his name, I suggest, would be thrown up. Now, if it is someone like a Todd Ikefu, it brings some experience. He's obviously, you know, played for the Reds and understands the Queensland mindset, but also you'd need some players around, and you need the detail of someone like a Chris Latham or someone like a Zane Hilton, who's currently coaching over in Japan. So you need some people around that can put the detail in place. And Brad Thorne's done a very good job with the Reds, taking them to a level. And Brad, he admits he can't take them any further. So you need to find a coach that has experience. Andy Friend might be one who's just finished over coaching in Ireland. So there's some options there for the Reds. And Matty Taylor's someone else who's assistant coach of the Wallabies. He's an option as well. So there's some experienced coaches there, but you need someone to be able to take this side to a new level in the next 4 or 5 years.
We're talking with Tim Horan. Just quickly, Eddie Jones names his Wallaby side. Has Harry Wilson done enough to get into that squad? He left out at the beginning. Do you think he's done enough? There's a very clear pathway that Eddie's with what he's selecting.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Harry because just the way the Queensland Reds have performed, of course, you know, the Waratahs performing really well at the moment, so that elevates people like Langy Gleeson and those type of players. And then all of a sudden, when Harry was in the last squad, he got called in late, and Eddie Jones, in a couple of weeks' time, he'll select this second squad, which is will take them through the first couple of test matches. Their first test match, the Wallabies, play in about 6 weeks' time in Pretoria, in South Africa, against the Springboks. Sold out 2 weeks ago, over 50,000 people already. So it's going to be tough for a few Reds players, but yeah, hopefully, you know, this weekend coming, if Harry Wilson can perform well over in Fiji, well, that'll hopefully put a big tick next to his name, but a few other players as well around the Reds in that squad. But yeah, Eddie Jones, he's brought you know, a bit of buzz back to rugby, Dobbo, and hopefully, I said to him the other day, he got a bit of a cheer when he was on television a few weeks back, and I said, Eddie, what was getting the cheer like, you know, when people cheered louder for you than they did for a Waratahs try? He just laughed and said, oh, that's because I haven't lost a test match yet. So
very true. Very
time
true.
Time will tell.
Enjoy the lunch on Friday. It's a very special time for Reds rugby when they induct more inductees in, celebrating 140 years of the Queensland Reds rugby. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Dobbo. Yeah, it's going to be a great day. And I think also not just the three that get inducted in, but also all the volunteers around club footy and around Ballymore over those 140 years and what that meant to be part of Queensland rugby. It's very special.
Yeah, good on you. I really appreciate your time this morning as well. This is Rural Queensland Today. We'll take a break, come back with more on the Resonate Broadcast Network.